This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our first reading this morning is selections from the 105th Psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Holy One. Call on God's name. Make the deeds of the Almighty known among the peoples. Sing to the Great One, sing praises. Tell of all the Creator's wonderful works. Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Almighty rejoice. Seek the Divine One and find strength. Seek God's presence continually. Remember the wonderful works the Creator has done, the miracles and the judgments God uttered. O offspring of the servant Abraham, children of Jacob, God's chosen ones. When the Almighty summoned famine against the land and broke every staff of bread, God had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters, his neck was put in a collar of iron, until what he had said came to pass. The word of God kept testing him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his possessions, to instruct his officials at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Let's rise and join together in our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live in respect with creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Our focus scripture for the morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 33. Right then, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake, while he dismissed the crowds. When he sent them away, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came, and he was alone. Meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far from land. Very early in the morning, Jesus came to his disciples walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" They were so frightened, they screamed. Just then, Jesus spoke to them. "Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid." Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened. As he began to sink, he shouted, "Lord, rescue me." Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, "You person of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts?" When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. Then those in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, "You must be the Son of God." These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God.
On first take on this story that we just shared together, we might be led to believe that Jesus walking on the water is the miracle in this story. But I don't think it is. I mean, we know that Jesus has done these amazing supernatural things before. Those that are endowed with supernatural powers are able to do things like that. So, I mean, yeah, it's impressive, but Jesus has done stuff like this before. I think, and I invite you to consider, that the real miracle in this story is that Peter walked on the water. Well, at least for a while. Jesus had sent the disciples across to the other side of the lake in a boat. And the water was a little rough, maybe a lot rough. And they were becoming frightened with that. Wondered what was going to happen to them, how this would all end up. And Jesus comes to them after a little time alone in prayer. And who can blame him for that? After feeding 5,000, not including women and children, at least in the gospel story we read last week. You need a little time alone, wouldn't you? I would. But here comes Jesus walking on the water as the boat is battered by the waves. The disciples in it scared to death, wondering what's going to become of them. Boats can be a safe place on the water, in smooth waters. But in choppy waters, it can be a bit frightening, can't it? If you've ever been on a boat, in a boat, on a lake when it's a little bit rough, can be a little bit scary, a little bit unsettling. We all have our boats to take us on our journey through life, individually and collectively. Think of the church, this church, as a boat in which we climb in and set sail in the waters of the life of this congregation. And we know from experience that the waters can be a little choppy, can't they? The waters in our own individual lifeboats can be choppy. In fact, if you really stop to think about it, very seldom is the water in our boats, whatever boat we might be in, nice and smooth and glassy. It's always a little bit choppy, isn't it? Look around, read the paper, or the internet, or the news, hear the news. Look in our own community. Life can be a little bit choppy, a little bit scary and frightening. We might wonder from time to time, as I think we all do, where are we going to end up? Where is this headed? Let's turn around and go back where it's safe and smooth and quiet. As I read this story, as I've read it many times, as you've heard it many times, as you've read it yourselves many times, I'm sure, you recognize that the boat can be rocked. Our boats can be rocked. The church's boat continues to be rocked and always will be. But as disciples, our boat, like those disciples in the first boat in this story, remember who it was who sent them out in the boat. It was Jesus. He sent them out into those choppy waters. They didn't go of their own choosing. I even like Matthew's story. Jesus made them get into the boat. Didn't ask them, invite them, made them. Well, we know the story as it continues. As Peter got out and walked on the water, he began to have doubts and he started to sink. And Jesus reached out, grabbed him, and things got better. But it got me to thinking, why is it that we doubt? Have you ever noticed, at least in my life experience, that when something new, when we're invited to something out into something new, into some new idea, some new way of living, as the world and life changes, the first thing that we human beings do is find fault with it. We can't do that. Must be human nature, I don't know. But we begin to consider new things, the changes in our lives and in the world, by picking it apart and coming up with all sorts of reasons why we can't do that. In the church, well, in life in general, not remembering that Jesus is already out there in those choppy waters, encouraging us to walk on the water. To walk in those choppy waters, knowing that we're not alone in this. There's a way. If we can get past our own doubts, there's ways to do things that we think we can't do. We're encouraged by the God who loves us, by Jesus, who showed us how much God loves us, to go out into uncharted waters. Explore and find ways to do the things that God is calling us to do. With all of our brothers and sisters and siblings. I love the way this little piece of the story ends. The disciples say, "You must be God's son." Well, duh. Of course, we know that. Maybe they were so relieved that they couldn't think of anything else to say. It's helpful for all of us in the church, outside of the church, in the world, to remember that when we're in the choppy waters, the waves are beating against the boat, the wind's blowing, and we think we're doomed, that it's Jesus out ahead of us in those choppy waters, walking towards us, reaching out towards us to guide us along, to encourage us as we face the challenges of our lives, individually and collectively. If we can remember that, when we doubt, when our faith is weak, we can be made strong, stronger in faith than in our life as a disciple. May it be so. Amen.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.